So, Roland and Carolyn and Daniela started attending church with us before we knew them. They were online, like some of you guys who are online here. They were online, and it was the pandemic, and all that stuff was happening, so things were crazy. And then they showed up in person. And Roland and I just kind of hit it off immediately and have developed a friendship. And this morning I'm excited about what he's talking about, but I wanted to share with you something that happened last night. If some of you saw it on my Facebook, Roland and I were chatting online, as we often do. He's one of my counselors, as is Leslie, you know, she's, and they don't charge me, so it's good. It would be too much. And so I was kind of, we're going back and forth and sharing things, and I shared with him, I said, you know, I really struggle, one of my biggest struggles is that I'm a human doing instead of a human being. That I my self-worth, how I evaluate things, how I feel about things, is all, I've told you before, in the product, in what's coming out. And so we're talking about that, and I'm talking about, I know that God has, he wants me to be concerned, more to know that he's more concerned with my being than my doing. And so Roland shared a song with me that I'm going to sing for you now. No. They all panicked and were like, we're leaving. He wouldn't have shared it. And shared this song, and he said, you know, every time I hear this song, I think of you. And I, listening to the song kind of brought tears to my eyes. It was right on about God being more concerned about us personally than all the doings that we do, the busyness. And the thing that I was most thankful for after I gave pause and I said, you know, 2.5 years ago, I didn't know this guy. And now he's such a good friend that he's able to know me well enough to kind of speak into my life with something that was directly from God that I needed. And so this morning, as he shares and talks about community and being together and all that, I just wanted to give you that little glimpse, because he's living what he's talking today. And I'm benefiting from it, and I know some of you guys are too. So you guys know him, so here's Roland. I just need to tell that story.
Yeah, I don't know if that's too loud. I told Scott also after I shared that, and he shared with me his, you know, how glad he was for me sharing it, that that's what Jesus is doing in me, right? I mean, that he's been working in me. I this is not who I am. I'm going to kind of share that this morning, that that's not how I normally am or normally was. I think it's who God made me to be, but the other piece of it is that, do I need to lift this up a little? Lily's giving me the thumbs up. So anyway, it's not me. It's kind of what Jesus has been doing in me, especially over the last 3 or 4 years. And I am grateful for that. Sometimes I'm not grateful for that, because there's that bit of power that's not mine, that and responsibility for doing the things that Jesus wants me to do. But I was telling Scott that song I've been hearing on the radio quite a bit, and I was like, every time I heard it, I thought of Scott. And, you know, because that's what we've been talking about. That was kind of what Scott had been talking about. And so I'm like, I finally shared it with him. I probably should have shared it with him like weeks ago. But anyway, I shared it with him. So that's the thing. So good morning, church family. My name is Roland. Those of you who don't know me, I am a member here at FBC. I've been a member here for, I don't know, a couple of years or so. And I'm grateful to be here. Just first off, I did give people a little slip of paper. My slides, I created slides, and if you want to follow along with my slides, I will self-direct. You don't have to do anything but sit there and hold the slide open and your phone in front of your face. If you're a visual person and want to see my slides, I tend to like to teach off of slides. So if you got that little slip of paper and you can log in, some people are showing me phones that they have it. So just something I thought I'd try today. I teach with this regularly at the work I do. So the message that I have today for you is called Life Together. And I subtitled it Even If We Aren't Together. Because I do think it's important as Christian community to think that we don't have to necessarily come together, physically, especially in this day and age where we have Zoom and we have FaceTime and all those kind of things, that sometimes we can get together without being like physically in person. So that's part of my message today. Scott had asked me like several months ago if I would share. I mean, this was probably like the end of last year. Said, you know, he had his calendar ready and I was supposed to speak in June, and he wanted me to talk on community or relationships or something like that. And my first thought was, I don't know anything about community or relationships. Growing up in the place that I grew up, the family that I grew up in, I spent a lot of time alone. I spent a lot of time avoiding people. I tend to have social anxiety, so I spent a lot of time in my room reading books, trying to avoid anything that was going on. And so community and relationships was not something I've been good at. Again, the last few years, God has been doing something in me and through me, I feel. And so, you know, up until, you know, a while ago, and some of the things that I had no idea what a healthy relationship was. And it really wasn't until I got sober and started hanging around in some communities and, you know, got back to church and did some of those things that I started seeing community. And you know, I think a lot of what I know about community is from watching other people and just learning. So anyway, so I'm going to try to explain to you a little bit of my understanding. This is a slide switch, so those of you who are, isn't it neat? My kids at work love this. I teach with this, and they're, you know, they get their laptops, and I can put games on this, I can put videos. So anyway, I am going to speak to you today a little bit through the lens of, if anybody knows who Dietrich Bonhoeffer is, he was basically, I believe, a Christian martyr, if you, you know, can use that word, died for his beliefs in Nazi Germany. On your slide, you can see that there's a little bit about him. So he was basically, as I got to get my glasses, German pastor, theologian, spy, and anti-Nazi dissident. He was a founding member of the Confessing Church. He's written several books on Christianity, if you haven't read those, and their role in the secular world. If you haven't read any of those, I would recommend, you know, picking up some of his readings because they're really good. He was arrested in April 1943 by the Gestapo and imprisoned and later transferred to a Nazi concentration camp. And sadly, just prior to like the Nazis going, you know, going down and being stopped, he was executed by hanging for basically trying to lead a plot against Hitler. So a lot of what I'm going to talk about comes from his book called Slide Switch, Life Together. He really talks a lot in this book about, you know, how we as Christians need to be in the world, not just as Christians, not just as a church, but in the world in itself. I also have done a little research on, there's this book called Invisible Fellowship, which is more contemporary. So this guy named John Walker wrote this book, basically giving a little bit of a more modern view of what Dietrich Bonhoeffer's works were. So when I do quotes sometimes in this, it'll be either a Dietrich Bonhoeffer quote or a John Walker quote, and they are referenced on the slides. So getting into it. You know, we are called to do a little bit more in Christian community than just show up. Scott had spoken last week. Our theme for the next, you know, at least for the summer, is God Never Said That. And I, you know, I originally was speaking under a different theme. And so I talked to Scott last week and kind of blending it in. And I'm gonna share a little bit about what happened in my life around something God never said. God basically never said that we need to go to church. that we need. And I think Scott said this before a message. We don't need to show up on Sunday morning necessarily. You know, it's not, we just need to be in Christian community. We need to be in fellowship with Christians. Because the idea, you know, is that if we're not with Christians, we're not hearing the message. If we're not doing things connected to Jesus, we're not hearing the message of what we need to do in our Christian community and in our own communities out there. And you know, Jesus brought a different message. So if we follow Jesus, he wants us to be in fellowship with other believers. Church is a great place to do that. Jesus spent a lot of time in the temple, probably every Sunday in the temple. So if we're following Jesus, we should probably do what he did. But God never said we had to be in church. A lot of times you'll hear, you know, people will say, well, yeah, you have to be in church because of Hebrews 10:25. It says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Little story of my life, the church we were in prior to this, during COVID, I was living with we were taking care of my mother, who was, you know, she was 80, how old was she, 85, 86, and she was a little nervous about COVID. You know, she didn't want us to go to church and be with other people because she was worried about bringing COVID back. And we were worried about bringing it back to her too. I mean, definitely she was one of those compromised people. And so we were watching church online, right? I mean, that's what everybody was doing when it first started. After a while, our church got back in person, and they were pretty adamant about, you need to be in person. It has to be in person. You can't, you know, if we understand you get these things, but it's not like you're in church if you're not there in person. And there was something about that that bothered me. And I was meeting with somebody from the church, like on a regular basis, discipleship meeting kind of thing. And at one point he told me, I think you might be sinning by not showing up at church in person. And I was like, there was something about that that bothered me, right? And he actually quoted Hebrews 10:25, you know, that, you know, to not neglect meeting with each other. And even though I was meeting with him, you know, it was like, there was part of me that's like, man, I'm meeting with you. I have a Christian running group that I meet with weekly. We were meeting in person because we were meeting outside and we were running and doing our thing. I was doing discipleship meetings with a friend of mine that it was a recovery Bible study. I was meeting with him. I was attending church weekly online, so I was getting the message. I actually asked them at church, at that church too. I said, I'm feeling really kind of left out. I'm not connected. They were like, well, you have to show up at church. I'm like, can you just give me a phone? Somebody's give my phone number to the, you know, just share it with the church and people can call me. Oh no, we can't do that. you know, to me, there was something wrong in that for me. That's why we ended up showing up here, right? We were showing up online for a while, and then we actually, Nora was reminding me when we got here that, you know, it was a couple of years ago that we showed up in this park for the first time. So, and I kind of joked with her and said that must have been a very traumatic experience if you remember the day that we showed up. So, but we're here anyway, so good luck. So, I forget what slide I'm on. But again, Jesus was... you know, the Bible does tell us, it doesn't tell us we have to be in church. The Bible does tell us that Jesus did regularly attend the temple, right? And he followed Jewish law. And the one thing he did was he came to fulfill the law, right? And so that part of the Jewish law said, you know, you fellowship with believers. And you know, the temple was a good place to do that. And so like I said, to be more like Jesus, we should probably attend as regularly as we can. If we have good reason not to be here, then... maybe that's a good reason, you know, and that, to me, that's between me and God, right? It's, you know, God knows what I'm doing, and if I'm just skipping out because I want to skip out, but if I have a good reason, so it's not really a sin. So I've been, you know, absolved of that sin, I guess, or I've absolved myself through talking to Jesus. But Jesus did more than just attend the temple, right? He regularly met with Christians in community. And he also reached out to those who weren't Christians, right? That was a big part of his ministry, was, you know, being with people who were struggling. And to me, that's the biggest part of Christian community, is if we want to be more like Jesus, we need to hang out with other believers, but we also need to share that through the world. Make sure I'm not missing anything. So this says from Luke 4:16, he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the seventh day, he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. So the Bible does tell us that Jesus went to the synagogue and went to temple. So getting to Bonhoeffer a little bit. Some of the things that Bonhoeffer brought up, these are some points. I'm like in the sun, so this is hard. How should we live in Christian community? And again, according to Bonhoeffer and the Bible, because Bonhoeffer was checking the Bible. Do I have a... This is Christian community, right? So, and you guys have all given me grace because, much better. All right, so how should we live in community? Bonhoeffer was using the Bible. First thing he tells us in life together is that we should hold each other accountable, right? So that's when we're in Christian community, we should be keeping each other accountable. Why weren't you in church last week? Oh, that sounds like a good reason, or maybe that wasn't a great reason. Maybe you should show up next week, kind of thing. And one of the things John Walker said in his book that I liked, he said, because we carry Jesus inside us, Scott mentioned that last week, right? Jesus is inside us. Because we carry Jesus inside us, we are to strengthen each other and to challenge each other to do the greater things God created us to do. So again, holding each other accountable, a good thing to do in Christian community. Along with that, I brought this, you know, scripture verse, Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So again, we're here as believers. I get stronger by being with you guys and hearing what you share, and you hear what I share. And so we are building each other up because we all want to be as what Jesus wants us to be, what God wants us to be. And so one of the big things about Christian community to me is holding each other accountable. We do that in small groups, we do that in discipleship meetings, those kind of things. Second thing that he mentions is that we should live together, right? Not that I'm inviting you guys all to my house, because there's no room for you guys to live. If I had room, I would, you know, probably have more people in my house, but we live in a mobile home, and there's barely room for all of us and our cat. So, but we should live together, and that to me means that we spend time we help other believers in order to mature into the fullness of Christ. And to me, that also means that we have life groups. We serve together. We do all those things that is sharing our lives together, right? We ask each other for prayer. We have, I love our church has that Facebook page where we can do prayer and praise, because we need that, right? I mean, and I also just want to share, I felt so much love and support from this church when my issues with my foot, that was, it's been a rough month, but I just knew you guys were behind me, right? And that, again, that's community, right? That we have support from people who are here. Let me see if I'm missing anything. No, one thing, and again, it's like holding accountability. We help each other learn to be more like Jesus. That to me is this living together, because we see it in action. The third thing he mentioned was we should remember that community is a gift from God, right? I mean, we have each other. That's a gift from God. It's a big thing. We are not meant to live alone. We are meant to live together. Some of that is, the husband and wife, that kind of connection that we, a lot of times it's easier to live life when we have a spouse that is with us. And Lily's shaking her head no, which and sometimes that's true. So that's all right, Lily. I'm glad you're here, by the way. So
I'm glad I'm here too.
I know. So God's love is in us God's love in us makes genuine community possible also, right? If we can't have genuine community, we can't connect with other people if we don't have God's love in us. I spent a lot of time in that, not having God's love in me and just trying to live my life by myself. Leave me alone, I'll be fine. Didn't work so well. So anyway, that's with God's love in us that we have community. John Walker, he said, we are in visible fellowship with each other because Jesus connects us to each other, period. That's how we as Christians can have our community, right? What are we connected by? We're all different people. We all have different skills. We all have different lives. We all have different backgrounds. But Jesus is what connects us all together. And if we don't remember that, then we really can't have community, right? I mean, it's a harder for community. People are doing their own thing. If we forget that the message is we're connected to what Jesus is doing and what Jesus wants us to do, then we're in trouble. And I love the fact that John Walker says, otherwise we are nothing more than a cookie and coffee society. So we could spend all day sharing, and you know, we do our open door kitchen. And that could just be an open door kitchen. It could just be people coming in for meals. But the reality is we have Jesus at the center, and we are talking to people. We are reaching out to people. We're sharing God's love with them. And you know, the hope is that they feel that, and we do have people that come back and they're looking for that. And it's some place that they can be in community, whether, you know, they start becoming a believer or not, they're finding community, right? We have people. Carolyn and I have talked to this woman for the last, I think, three open door kitchens who just, that's her thing, coming to the kitchen. She's so lonely. We spend, you know, 15, 20 minutes talking to her, and she just, I think she just feels better. She finds us now, which is a cool thing. It's really kind of neat that, you know, she comes up and talks to us, and Daniela connects with her and all that stuff. It's, anyway, that's community for me. And again, that's God's love, and that's keeping Jesus at the center. Did I just say I'm not supposed to, right? Is that wrong word for talking? Number four. Scott moved me, but now I'm back in the sun. Number four, remember our love for one another is a witness to the world. We are, again, same illustration. We are a witness in the, like, not just in the open door kitchen, but in everything we do, we are a witness to the world. People ask why we're doing stuff. And we're witnessing to the world. And if we're showing God's love to people, some people are gonna say, what's wrong with that person? You know, why are they so nice? Or why are they doing those things? And if we're doing the wrong thing, if we're not doing what Jesus wants us to do, people are gonna say, and they know we're Christians, people are gonna say, you know, I don't wanna be a Christian if that's gonna be the thing. So in Christian fellowship, and this goes back to what are we showing people? But also, I just lost my train of thought. But so the big thing is, if we know God, we will love others with the love of God. And again, coming back to Jesus, right? If we know who God is, then we're going to show others that love. And then 1 John 4:7, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And again, it's important that we are sharing that love, and reminding ourselves that our Christian witness is showing. It just popped in my head. I was running a road race. I have a Christian running group. I was running a road race with my Southern Maine Christian Runner shirt on, and it has a Bible verse on the back, and I'm running, and I'm getting frustrated with myself because I'm running slower than I wanted to, and I wanted to just kind of, like, you know, just, I don't know, just act really, like, forlorn and upset. And then I realized I was wearing a Southern Maine Christian Runner shirt, and I was like, oh, I can't, you know. And so and you know, the beauty of that is that it changed my mindset at that point, and I was cheering other people on. I was like, well, maybe just not my day. And I was just kind of, I was trying to be, you know, outwardly helpful to other people. And I don't know, again, that to me is Christian community, not something I'm, you know, it's like, whoa, you know, where did that come from? But it's, again, it's a God thing. So let us love one another, because that's what God has taught us. Number five, I love this one because I think it's important. We will accept all into community. that says all, not some, that says not just the people who believe what we believe necessarily. It's all. And I think this is important because, you know, Bonhoeffer said it basically, and I like this. The exclusion of the weak and insignificant, the seemingly useless people from a Christian community may actually mean the exclusion of Christ. And the poor brother, Christ is knocking at the door. And so, again, who knows? I mean, when I first came into a church, people may have said, what's that guy doing there or whatever. Nobody said that to my face, thank goodness. But, you know, I felt like maybe people were doing that. And look at me now. I'm standing in front of you sharing a message. I don't know, you know. How did I get here other than God? But God works on all of us, right? And so we are to accept everybody in. Pray for them, show them God's love, and give them a community, right? Some people walk into these doors without a community, and they're looking for something. I think our church does it pretty well. I just love the acceptance and the warmness of our church. And then Bonhoeffer also said the elimination of the weak is the death of fellowship. And again, if we're not accepting the people who walk in the door, then we're not being we're really not being Christ-like. We're forgetting that Christ is the center. Christ, you know, went to the weak and the insignificant and helped them. So. And then finally, this last point, we should remember our faith binds us together. As a community, we are bound together by faith, not by experience. We all have different experiences. I think those experiences we come to the church with help to, you know, when there are other people that have those similar experiences, we can help them, but we are all bound together by faith, by this Jesus, again, is at the center of our fellowship, of our community. And so those are the points that Bonhoeffer, I kind of pulled out. I think I missed a slide. Did I, or? Yeah, I'm missing a slide. Oh, there it is. I just didn't move it. Sorry. All right, I'm gonna move around a little bit because this is in my... So, as I told you earlier, community was not something that I... and relationship was not something I did pretty well. This is a picture of my running group from a couple years ago during COVID, outdoors, with each other in person. We had a cookout to celebrate our time together. This is like a second family to me. These people I run with on Saturdays, but we are in each other's lives continually. I just share that, you know, people in this group, one of the members of our group lost his wife, and we were there for him in that time. We had a woman who joined our group shortly after her husband died, and she moved away to Vermont, and she still comes and joins us, and she's still connected with us. You know, that's community. that's fellowship. We're Christians. You know, we all get together and share. And again, it's like family to me, family I never really knew growing up, those kind of things. They always call me the leader, and I always say, no, it's, you know, he's working through me, and I just kind of, you know, get these things together. But some of the things that I've done, you know, in my just community, I mentioned, you know, about AA was my first kind of delving into community, and that's where people are just sharing their stories and you get to know people. And the big piece to me about community is getting to know people and them getting to know you. I think that's also important, is that, you know, I can hear about you all day, but I need to, you know, you need to know something about me for us to be connected. I also do NAMI support groups weekly, and to me, Lily's back there giving the thumbs up. You know, that's the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and so people that struggle with anxiety, depression, any kind of mental illness, I struggle with anxiety. It's something that I've worked through, but I get this chance to have community, and I'm connected to people all over the country. It's kind of neat. They come on Zoom, and I get connected to them, and we also text each other, and those kind of things. And again, it's that thing where we're not just doing something, you know, we're connected and we know each other. I told you about the Christian Running Group, FBC Westbrook my family is we're pretty involved. I'm one of these jump in guys. I've learned to just jump in with both feet and let everything else fall where it will. So, you know, we do. But I think whenever the doors are open to the church, and even when they're not, we're there. And this is something I've learned to do. And I think, again, that's Christian community, right? We're supposed to do some of those things and connect. Small groups. Scott had mentioned I started the Monday small group, but I don't think that was me. Again, I think that was God talking through me. I just want to support and help people. But that's been a blessing, too. I mean, that's one of those things where we've gotten some pretty good connections with people in our small group. We get together for meals, and we share life, and that's the whole thing about sharing life. And finally, Scott probably wants to say something. And finally, I do this discipleship meeting weekly with my friend that I went to high school with. Who knew that we would be like good friends later on, because he and I were not friends in high school. And we do weekly. He lives in North Carolina, and we get together on Zoom, not in person, but we have some awesome talks, and we are connected completely. So what did you want to say?
All right, I got questions. So you shared with us social anxiety, but then you said you jump in with both feet. People who have social anxieties, that is a struggle. How'd you get over that?
I just did it, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's yeah, I think sometimes it's, you know, one of the things in AA that they say is just fake it till you make it. And I mean, some of that's true, right? It's like sometimes if we're just like, oh, well, it to me, and also, I mean, you know, I think medication helps in a little bit. I got some anti-anxiety medication, and that's okay, right? It works for me. I'm on a really low dose, but I get to stand in front of you and do these things, right? And I get to jump in with both feet. And so it's just being true to myself and just continually trying and failed sometimes, and you know, I got here somehow. So, yeah. Yeah, and yes. And community and fellowship was a big piece. So, yeah.
And your wife.
And my wife, yes. Yeah, my daughter adds to my anxiety sometimes. But.
Oh, amen. You know, speaking of children, I heard this past week that God gave us teenagers so that we could experience what it feels like when someone created in our own image totally rejects our authority. You know, it's like that model. So, Roland, with the Monday night's group of people, at first when he started, he and Carolyn would go, and there'd be one person. And what I was so amazed by, impressed by, is they just kept doing it. Kept being faithful and saying that one is worth it. And then it became two. And then it became three, okay? And then it became a group of that friendship. So when you started, it wasn't easy, but I really appreciated how you've stuck to it, because I was, at some points, I was going to be like, Roland, dude, it's not working. You can give up. It's okay. But I didn't, and he didn't, for sure. So I want you guys just to take a look around here. You can even stand up. Stand up. Take a look around. Hey, there are children playing up there. See these people? See these people? You are not required to go to church. The Bible tells us to be the church. To be the church. To follow Christ and do what he says. So, I find for me that being involved in my church fellowship and other fellowships strengthens me to be able to do that. Oh, cool. Remember 2 years ago when we stopped and watched the dog fight? That was so much fun. It was like right in the middle of things. They're like, let's all stop and watch the dogs. So I encourage you, if you're not involved in a small group, you can even start one. You can start one. You can talk to me about it. How does it work? Each of our small groups has different personalities. I look at our small groups as, like, I look at our music team as a small group. When they get together and practice and they're building relationships, that's a small group. When we have the group on Monday night, the group on Wednesday night, the group on Thursday night, the different groups that get together, Heidi's group on Sunday mornings, you know, those are all small groups where we build relationships, and they're relationships like what Roland has talked about here, where you can be somebody in somebody else's life to say, I keep hearing this song and thinking of you. You want to be that person, to know somebody else in that family so well that you say, you know, you're part of my family and I know you well and this is for you. It's an encouragement. So thanks, Roland. Can we pray together? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for Roland. I thank you because I believe that you sent him to us for a reason. And Lord, I believe part of that reason was me. And the ministry that he's been to me in these times when I've been trying to figure some things out. And I thank you for him. I thank you for Carolyn and her faithfulness and her cooking and just her heart. I thank you for Daniela, who just loves everybody without condition. Father, what a gift they are to our church family. I thank you so much for them. In Jesus' name, amen.